the Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champion in an extraordinarily entertaining game. The Eagles defeated the New England Patriots by a score of 41-33. That gives the Eagles their first Super Bowl ever and their first NFL championship in 58 years.
Apple is now about 10% away from the record highs it hit just back on January 18th. You may recall back then the highs we saw about $180 and change for Apple shares. Right now at $162.03. Given this move, some folks like to call it correction territory. That is when a stock pulls back by 10% from its near-term highs. Apple, one of the biggest drivers of what's happening with the markets over the course of the past week, the most heavily weighted stock in both the NASDAQ, NASDAQ 100, and S&P 500.
Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JP Morgan Chase announcing on Tuesday they're forming a company aimed at lowering healthcare costs for its U.S. employees. The giant companies provided few details, but said the independent firm will initially focus on technology solutions to provide more than their combined 500,000 U.S. employees and their families with high-quality health care at a reasonable cost.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It's February 5th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day, another business week getting underway. Good show for you today. Together, we're going to learn more about the announcement last week by Amazon and Berkshire Hathaway and J.P. Morgan Chase about creating a new healthcare entity. Robert Grabois will be here from the Mercatus Center. We'll bring him in momentarily. And a little bit later in the program, mergers and acquisitions. The outlook for 2018 is strong, especially after the tax bill. We will have a conversation about that a little bit later in the program as well in our second segment. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, again, we begin with triple-digit losses potentially at the open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures off 129 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. Friday was one of the worst days on the Dow in a long while. We saw the Dow drop significantly on Friday. Most of the markets around the world are following those jitters caused by that. In Europe this morning, all of the arrows are down, with the FTSE in London off more than 1% and the CAC in France off about 1% as well. In Asia this morning, markets generally lower as well, with the Nikkei down nearly 2.5%, 592 points, and the Hang Seng off about 356 points, down about a point. Oil is trading at $65.27 a barrel, which is down about 18 cents. Some other stories that we're watching, of course, it's the global markets, the big story of the morning. What's driving things lower? Lots of things. Those jitters again from Friday, but also bond yields have rose to multi-year highs around the globe. 10-year Treasury note this morning at 2.849%. Again, multi-year highs for that. A couple of other stories we're watching for you in news this morning. The Federal Reserve has made a ruling on Wells Fargo, imposing more penalties on Wells Fargo, freezing the bank's growth until it can prove it has improved its internal controls. San Francisco Bank has agreed to replace three board members by April and a fourth by the end of this year. The new penalties were announced late Friday on Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen's last day at the central bank. And another story happening, developing new, Mick Mulvaney, the head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, has pulled back from a full-scale probe of how Equifax failed to protect the personal data of millions of consumers. This according to a report in Reuters. It was started in November by his predecessor, Richard Cordray. The investigation looks into whether or not and how hackers stole personal data that it collected on nearly 143 million Americans. The former director had authorized an investigation into just how that happened. It's unclear what this means in terms of whether it's put on hold, whether it's being scaled back completely, but it's a developing story that we'll keep watching for you as the day goes along. You may remember last week, the giants Berkshire Hathaway, that's Warren Buffett's company, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Amazon, all announced they were going to create a company to offer affordable health care to their employees. Stocks of health insurance tumbled after that. Of course, we've seen this before. Amazon, a disruptor in many different areas, in groceries and in other markets as well. Robert Grabois is with us this morning. He's a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. Robert is one of the most knowledgeable people I know about healthcare policy. Robert, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Well, good morning. Glad to be with you.
So they say they're going to try to do this, or they want to do this, to make a profit-free entity here where healthcare is concerned. That is looks like a red flag to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, these three are extraordinarily successful companies, but they've all gotten where they've gotten, and they've brought all that value to their customers, not by avoiding profits, but by making lots of them. That's what spurred them on. That's what made them so innovative.
What do you make of this plan? I know we don't know much of it, and I honestly don't think they know a lot about it. I think they're just starting. But what do you think might develop here?
It remains to be seen. They were very modest in what they said. Really, if you read their press announcement, they said they don't really know, they have the answers. They're just beginning this. I think the press and the markets and all the people sending me exclamation points to my inbox probably reacted a bit more strongly than probably is warranted at this time. There's no doubt they could be a major player, but this is a very sharp departure from what they've all three done in the past.
And it looks like it's initially going to begin with their own employees, but do you get the sense that they're trying to create a model that would be able to be used in other areas?
Let's just say I'd be surprised if they weren't. They've got about 1 million employees between the three of them, but Jeff Bezos didn't get where he is by selling books to his friends.
Robert, hang on with us. We're going to continue with Robert Grabois this morning from Mercatus Center. We're going to be talking more about this announcement by Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and J.P. Morgan Chase of some healthcare entity that they want to create. We'll get into some more of the details as we know them as the Opening Bell continues this morning.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. The big plunge has the eyes of the investment world on Wall Street today. The Dow ended Friday down 2.5% or 666 points at 25,520, capping its worst week in 2 years. The NASDAQ composite fell 145 points to 7,240. The S&P 500 was down nearly 60. A report showing job growth above expectations provided the catalyst for the sell-off. It stoked speculation that the Federal Reserve will need to raise its key interest rate faster than expected to counter inflation. Meanwhile, Janet Yellen says she's disappointed that President Trump did not offer her a second term as Fed chair. Her four-year term ended on Friday, coinciding with Wall Street's freefall. Jerome Powell, formerly a Fed board member, takes over at the helm today. And you can add Best Buy to the list of companies handing out bonuses as a result of the tax cuts. The nation's largest consumer electronics retailer says it'll give $1,000 checks to full-time workers, $500 apiece to part-time employees. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Robert Grabois on with us this morning, senior research fellow at Mercatus Center, talking about the notion that Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and J.P. Morgan Chase could create a healthcare company. Robert, if you were putting something like this together, how would you proceed? I'm guessing that costs, healthcare costs, would be like one of the first things you'd try to tackle, or no?
Sure. Obviously, that's a big question on everyone's mind. On the other hand, I think that if you read the announcement, they may be leading themselves into not the best territory. If they're aiming to reduce overall healthcare spending for the economy, which they said which they thought was eating away at America's economy like a tapeworm, I think they're going to be highly frustrated with that. There are good reasons to think that we actually don't spend. Our spending is not as excessive or unsustainable as people think, and that's a long conversation to have sometime. But I think where they're going to succeed, if they do, is in getting more value for however many dollars we Americans decide to spend. You know, Jeff Bezos at Amazon did not get retail spending under control and reduce the amount that we spend on retail. What he did was he changed the way we get retail, and he made us get a whole lot more stuff for our money. And I think that really would be a much better goal than trying to reduce overall health care spending.
What about the other two folks who we recognize from those other two companies, specifically Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett? What strengths would he bring to the mix of creating something like this, do you think?
Well, they've got a lot of money, and that's an important factor. I will say that they're going to need to think very carefully about how they handle it. Their current positions, J.P. Morgan Chase is a banking company. I used to work for one of their predecessor companies. Banking is a very establishment, conservative sort of an entity, and they're trying to do something very radical here. It's hard to make that transition. One of the best examples of a company that managed to do it was in the 1980s, IBM decided to get into PCs, and they succeeded very well. And the way they did it was they created their PC entity, put it, 1,500 miles from their headquarters, and basically didn't give them their phone number. They just said, go to it, do what you want. They could be having a problem if, for instance, if this entity really does squeeze the providers, which is what you're going to have to do to get costs down. Well, that's going to have some negative impacts on some of the companies in which Berkshire Hathaway and J.P. Morgan Chase invest. And just simple organizational dynamics says some people at those companies will kind of be rankled by that and fight it because they don't want to see their portfolios crashing because this entity has been too successful at squeezing them. So they're really going to have to, create some distance between this entity and the three major ones.
Closing here, it looks like they're, at least from what we see, they're maybe creating a group purchasing model. I mean, we've seen a lot of those in other places, haven't we?
Yeah, you have. And I think that only goes so far. As I've told you in the past, if you really want to get costs down, you have to change the way we deliver care. You have to shift the burden of care from, for example, expensive physicians and shift it to less expensive professionals like nurse practitioners or to intelligent machines that can do diagnostics. We've talked about that before. To get the patient, the consumer, to carry some of the burden with the assistance of those less expensive professionals and those machines. These are all within the realm of technology. If you decide to do it simply by squeezing the supply chain, I think you'll run into trouble.
Amazon has always, and we always think of Amazon as the disruptor in a lot of different forces. Do you think maybe it's going to meet its match in this area?
Well, it certainly can. This is the proverbial land war in Asia of the American economy. The regulatory environment is like nothing these three have done. Banking is a heavily regulated industry, not in the way healthcare is. And for that matter, while I have the highest admiration, Jeff Bezos is a well-established 54-year-old, not a 30-year-old in his garage, willing to essentially do guerrilla warfare on the retail industry. So, again, they're going to have to create the sort of atmosphere that allows rather radical solutions.
Robert, always good chatting with you. And as this thing starts to take shape, we'd like to have you back, and we'll go over it some more. How's that sound?
Love to talk about it again.
All right, Robert, thank you. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Robert Graybois, research fellow at Mercatus Center, on this idea that Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, J.P. Morgan Chase could all get together and form some new healthcare entities. Stay tuned. More details on that coming, I'm sure, in the coming months.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis with today's NO Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoNO.com. Chicago-based Chomps, a maker of all-natural beef jerky products, launched in 2012 after its founder, Peter Maldonado, was looking to create an alternative to his favorite snack, Slim Jim. Now, the jerky sticks are sold in major retailers like Target, Trader Joe's, Publix grocery stores, and select 7-Eleven stores. 5to9, a Chicago-based social networking event platform that offers memberships to young professionals, recently launched a web-based business-to-business platform for companies looking to host after-work social activities for their employees. The platform will help emerging startups and established companies retain workers, and millennial employees in particular, the company says. And Motorola Solutions announced that it has entered into an agreement to acquire Avigilon, a Vancouver-based company that makes advanced security surveillance solutions, for approximately $1 billion in cash. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Monday edition. Mergers and acquisitions. The landscape was strong in 2017, and by all indications, 2018 looks to be another strong year. Jim Kohler is the Central Market Managing Partner at PwC and is with us this morning. Jim, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you.
I understand you were at the Super Bowl last night.
I was, and it was the first live Super Bowl I've been to, and what a fantastic game. So you got me on and a little bit of not much sleep, but here this morning.
That's why I mentioned it. We appreciate that very good game last night. Well, Jim, talk to us about mergers and acquisitions. First of all, last year, did I summarize it pretty good? It was a pretty strong year.
You did, Steve. 2017 had an uptick in mergers and acquisitions. I think a little bit different landscape. You probably saw a downturn in what we would describe as mega deals, deals greater than $5 billion. But looking ahead in 2018, I think we're still on that uptick. I think there's a lot of interest in deals. Still a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines, too. Private equity has a lot of cash. They're interested in financing deals. But I think some of the headwinds that you see, even in the markets, just the valuations being high, probably make for less targets or a lot more discretion, if you will, in terms of the deals that companies go after. But there are some things really emerging, and we can talk about some of those, but especially technology and the rapid pace of technology and what that means to business as well.
Yeah, I want to get into some of the details there, but first I'm going to ask you, is there... anything particular driving this? Is it the political nature? Is it the atmosphere in Washington that's helping? Or is it just the strong, optimistic view of the economy?
Yeah, I think the view of the economy, still historically low interest rates, low unemployment, and as I said, the emergence of technology. And then you have to also factor in tax reform. I think a lot of companies are having an opportunity now, and we're really helping a lot of companies understand the impact of tax reform, helping them model the future cash flows they may have, and the opportunity to really focus on strategic assets. So that can drive deals a couple of ways. Sometimes divestitures, you know, as companies really look into their strategy, looking ahead to the future, the synergies they want to have, the strategic assets that they see in their future, means sometimes they may divest of some divisions or product lines and really focus on others that will really fuel their growth. One of the things PwC does is we had our 21st annual global CEO survey that was released in Davos, and it was interesting, 69% of U.S. CEOs really looked to mergers and acquisitions to drive both growth and profitability in 2018, and that's up compared to global CEOs down in the 40% there. But what I wanted to stress there is not just growth, but actually profitability, and that's where technology comes into play, the opportunity to look for strategic assets, whether it's artificial intelligence, different platforms, things that can be tucked into the companies to really help them focus not only on customer engagement, but how they operate their business and the workforce going forward. They can be real assets to companies.
Well, give us an example of that.
Well, I think what you see is opportunities to be more engaged with the customer, to understand trends quicker. So artificial intelligence working in the background helps companies react quicker to customer needs, and desires in the marketplace. And then if you think about artificial intelligence, just the ability to also react behind the scenes, helping employees be more efficient, helping them respond quicker, and to actually take out some routine transactions and allow people to focus more on the core assets of the business and drive some of the routine functions out and more focus on the strategic areas of the business.
Give us a sense, too. I mean, you work in the central market that covers the Midwest, Illinois. How did we do in Illinois in this area?
Yeah, I think Illinois was strong, the strongest of the Midwest states by far, clearly size and volume here. Probably on par with the national trend, so I'm not losing any ground, but I think there's been a strong national trend of, you know, the deal flow is up. But as I said, still very, very much a discerning market, looking at the valuations being probably the biggest holdback in terms of what deals get done.
So if you had to predict, what quarter do you think would be the ripest for this year?
Oh, that's a hard one, Steve. I think what you see is the trend that started the fourth quarter of 2017 was strong, probably the strongest in 17. And you kind of see that spilling over into 18. So I think all of 18 will be strong. Hard to predict which quarter. I think it will just be that trend that continues to drive the deal flow.
I like that part of the merger and acquisition process. I know it's sort of inside baseball when we talk about it from a business standpoint, but these deals they affect more than just the companies and their investors, don't they?
They do. You know, obviously the stakeholders include, you know, employees, customers as well, and really that's a lot of the driver behind this. So how to get more customer engagement, how to make sure that the products have synergies, how do deals help companies operate more efficiently. So they do have an impact on more than just the shareholders themselves.
How do they impact the local economies as well?
I think they can actually drive strength in the local economy. I think the workforce, you'll see a lot more investment, I think, in workforce training and technology, and the opportunity to kind of really look for opportunities to enhance the workforce. But I think that's also going to require a lot of society to help react to the emerging needs of businesses as they acquire technologies, as they look to the workforce to be able to keep up with that too. So it can drive really a lot of skill enhancement, but it's going to drive a lot of demand for different skills in the workforce as well.
Is there, back to the technology part of this, how do we, if we're going to like maybe try to use a crystal ball to see some of this coming, what were the companies that would be ripe for a merger and acquisition, do you think, with that technology thing in mind?
Well, I think you see financial services companies looking to technology to be the backbone, again, with artificial intelligence. Obviously, you know, healthcare continues to look to drive the cost of delivery down. I think you'll see a lot of activity in the healthcare arena as well. That being the major focus, you'll see payers, providers looking at opportunities to drive that cost down. And then, you know, manufacturing, obviously, again, looking at technologies synergies again with products. So,
what would be some of the other trends in this area, Jim?
I think really the technology being the biggest driver, and as I said, artificial intelligence. You're going to see, not maybe in the next year, but you continue to see things like blockchain. You know, so a lot of the drivers, while we talked about mega deals maybe coming back a little bit, I think you're going to see a lot of smaller deals as technology companies emerge. And there's a lot of them, you know, investing in blockchain, investing in artificial intelligence. I think you'll see a lot of deals to acquire them, particularly in the private equity market, to get that technology, really harness it, help it grow, and expand that in the business market. So technology, I think, will fuel a lot of the M&A activity, particularly in the smaller deals, but also in the larger deals, too. And I think you'll see media and entertainment, too, continued potentially consolidation there, changes in the way media and entertainment are delivered. You know, we've seen a lot of technology improvements there as well, and just the way customers interact with media and entertainment companies now.
If we had to look at startups, is there any news in this area for startups or some of these startup companies that are doing some of this really good work, the possible targets of acquisition?
Yeah, and I think, Illinois has got, great fuel for innovation. We've got in Chicago, 1871 and a number of the just incubators, if you will, that that really help drive innovation. And you see that in a lot of different areas of the country. But the startups, again, will come in technology, and I think that will be the great emergence there. A lot of artificial intelligence, as I said, and blockchain as well.
I don't want to sound like a negative Nelly here, but what could throw a wrench in the works in all of this?
I think you have to watch, as I said earlier, the interest rates have been historically low. The availability of money has been there. That looks to continue, but you never know what happens there. Valuations continue to increase. That has been a little bit of a damper on deals, valuations being very high, so not as attractive for acquisitions. And if they stay high, could impact the deal market. But again, a lot of disruption in the market too, driving M&A activity.
Jim, very good of you to be with us today. You didn't sound tired at all from the football game last
night. Okay. Well, thank you, Steve. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
And come back again soon. Jim Kohler, Central Market Manager, Managing Partner at PwC. You can find out more about Jim and his team over at pwc.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are on their way down again this morning, off 211 points now. It is going to be a weak open again on Wall Street after Friday's sell-off. Looks like it's going to continue. NASDAQ futures down about 29 points. S&P futures down 14. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we watch the closing trade on Friday at the Chicago Board of Trade, the market screen turned red. March wheat ending the day and the week Friday down 4 cents a bushel. March corn down 0.75 cents a bushel. And March soybeans down 6.5 cents a bushel. Traders feeling better about moisture conditions, particularly in Argentina and Brazil. But looking at the livestock screen on Friday, at the end, generally green. April lean hogs gaining 85 cents a hundredweight to close at 73.55. February live cattle contract up 30 cents at 126.85 a hundredweight. And the April feeder cattle contract gained $1.55 last Friday to close the week at $151.77. The big late-breaking story on Friday from the Humane Society announcing that its chief executive, Wayne Pacelli, resigned Friday amid sexual harassment complaints and the backlash by major donors. The announcement of his departure came one day after the charity's board voted to retain the chief executive and 2 hours after the board chairman dismissed the allegations. But following the contentious several hour-long meeting on Friday, Mr. Pacelli resigned. He's well remembered in the animal agriculture world of saying about 8-10 years ago, his main goal was to put an end to animal agriculture in the United States. And tax returns show 1% of the money coming into the Humane Society of the United States helped abused animals at 1% of the nation's pet shelters. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Monday, February 5th, the Institute for Supply Management releases its service sector index for January. Looking ahead to the rest of the week, on Tuesday, the Commerce Department reports international trade data for December, and the Labor Department releases its job openings and labor turnover survey for December. We'll also get earnings tomorrow from BP, Disney, Archer Daniels Midland, Snap, General Motors, Dunkin' Brands, and Chipotle. Earnings continue through the week. Wednesday, 21st Century Fox and Tesla. On Thursday, News Corp, Viacom, Twitter. And on Friday, the Olympics begin. The Winter Olympics begin. And Apple's HomePod will go on sale. Also today, Jerome Powell will be sworn in as the new chairman of the Federal Reserve. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Monday, February 5th.